What if you could detect a salmonella contamination in 25 minutes instead of 2 days? New palm-sized biosensors are making that a reality. And what if your smartwatch could measure your blood pressure continuously without a cuff, using AI to predict cardiovascular risk? That technology is now out of the lab. This week, we're tracking the sensor revolution and how it's creating immense opportunities and new competitive pressures for Western industry. Stay with us. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global industry. I'm Susie. Every week, I'm joined by our expert analyst, Troy, to break down the signals from the noise. This week, Troy, we're seeing a flood of developments around biosensors. These aren't just incremental updates. They feel like a fundamental shift in how we monitor everything from food production to our own health.
That's exactly right, Susie. We're moving from a world of slow, centralized lab testing to one of fast, decentralized, and continuous monitoring. The convergence of nanomaterials, gene editing tools like CRISPR, and artificial intelligence is creating a new class of intelligence sensors. For U.S. and European companies, this isn't a future trend. It's a present reality that is already redefining standards for safety, healthcare, and environmental compliance.
Let's start with safety, specifically food safety. A major recall can be catastrophic for a brand. The current process of sending samples to a lab feels dangerously slow. What's changing?
The entire paradigm is changing, from reactive to proactive. Take two recent U.S. breakthroughs. First, researchers at Worcester Polytechnic Institute, or WPI, have developed a palm-sized biosensor for culture-free salmonella detection. Second, a USDA-funded project at UC Riverside is using CRISPR technology for a similar purpose.
Okay, WPI and UC Riverside, one uses bacteriophages, the other uses CRISPR. Can you translate that for us? What are these technologies exactly?
Certainly. The WPI device uses bacteriophages, which are viruses that exclusively infect and bind to specific bacteria. The sensor surface is coated with phages that only target Salmonella. When Salmonella is present in a food sample, it gets captured, and the sensor detects the change in mass, giving a result in hours, not days. The UC Riverside sensor uses CRISPR-Cas14, a component of the gene editing system. Here, it's not used to edit genes, but to find them. It's programmed to seek out the unique DNA signature of pathogens like E. coli 0157H7, and when it finds a match, it triggers a simple color change.
So one is like a targeted grappling hook. The other is a DNA search engine. How does this specifically affect a food manufacturer in the U.S. or a food processing company in Europe?
For manufacturers, this is game-changing. It moves pathogen testing from a central lab to the production line. A U.S. food processor can now test a batch of ground beef in real time before it's even packaged and shipped. This dramatically reduces the risk of a multi-million-dollar recall. For European manufacturers exporting to the U.S., this will soon become the competitive standard. They'll need to adopt similar on-site testing to guarantee safety and avoid shipment rejections.
And what about for trading companies and distributors who are moving these goods globally?
They are on the front line of liability. This technology gives them a powerful new tool for verification. A Western trading company can use a device like the WPI sensor to spot-check a container of imported produce at the port of entry. It allows them to validate supplier safety claims instantly, shifting from a model of trust but verify to one of real-time data. Sourcing will begin to favor suppliers who have integrated this technology.
It sounds like this isn't just about food. We're also seeing this on-site sensor trend for environmental contaminants, like the forever chemicals, PFAS.
Precisely. In Europe, the European Commission's PFAS project is funding a French startup called Grafail to develop graphene-based sensors for real-time PFAS detection in water. Graphene's unique electrical properties allow it to detect these chemicals at ultra-trace levels, reportedly 10 times more sensitive than existing field solutions.
So, what's the actionable insight for executives this week?
The era of waiting for lab results is ending. Whether it's pathogens or chemicals, the expectation will be real-time monitoring. Executives in manufacturing and supply chain logistics should immediately begin exploring pilot programs for these on-site sensor technologies. They need to ask their operations and quality control teams, what is our strategy for integrating real-time diagnostics into our workflow within the next 24 months? This is no longer a question of if, but when.
Let's pivot from industrial safety. This is another area where sensors are causing huge disruption. We saw a major announcement from Dexcom, a leader in glucose monitoring. What did they do?
Dexcom made a strategic move to break out of its core market of insulin-dependent diabetes. At the American Diabetes Association sessions on June 4th, they announced the acquisition of Nutrisense, a personalized nutrition coaching company, and the early access launch of their redesigned Stelo app. This is their play for the much larger market of non-insulin-using type 2 diabetics and the general wellness consumer.
So they're bundling their continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, with AI-driven coaching and dietitian support? It sounds like they're selling a health platform, not just a medical device.
Exactly. And they have the clinical data to back it up. Their Connect trial showed that their CGM significantly improved glycemic control, even for people not on insulin. They are creating an integrated ecosystem. This is a critical lesson for any company in the medtech space. The value is migrating from the hardware to the data-driven service layer built on top of it.
But Troy, this space is littered with failures. We just saw a report resurface about Google's ambitious project to build a glucose monitoring smart contact lens, which they shut down in 2018. Why did Dexcom succeed where a giant like Google failed?
It's a perfect case study in science versus hype. Google's Verily division tried to achieve the non-invasive holy grail of measuring glucose in tears. The project failed for a fundamental biological reason. They couldn't establish a reliable clinical correlation between tear glucose and blood glucose. Tear glucose levels are about 100 times lower than in blood and are wildly affected by environmental factors. Dexcom, on the other hand, built its empire on a minimally invasive subcutaneous sensor. It's a proven, reliable method. They are expanding their market by building a superior software and service layer on a foundation of solid science.
That's a crucial distinction. What does this mean for U.S. and European medical device manufacturers?
For European medtech leaders like Roche or Medtronic, Dexcom's move is a direct challenge. The future of chronic disease management is continuous monitoring paired with personalized AI-driven feedback. A standalone blood glucose meter is becoming a legacy product. U.S. manufacturers of medical components should also take note. The failure of Google's lens shows that material science, sensor accuracy, and biocompatibility for non-invasive wearables remain incredibly difficult challenges. There are massive opportunities, but the technical hurdles are high.
And for technology companies or distributors looking to enter this market?
For tech companies, the lesson is that healthcare is not a standard software problem. You must respect the underlying biology. For distributors, the market is segmenting. You have the high acuity medical devices for serious conditions and now a rapidly growing prosumer wellness category. The Stelo app is targeting this group. Distributors need a strategy to service both, as the sales channels and customer support needs are very different.
So, what's the actionable insight here for executives in tech and healthcare?
They need to honestly assess their strategy. Are you building a device, or are you building a data-driven platform that delivers a continuous service? And second, they must perform ruthless due diligence on the core science of any new monitoring technology. Google's failure proves that a big name and deep pockets cannot overcome unfavorable biology. Focus on technologies like the cuffless AI-powered blood pressure smartwatch from the University of Utah. It uses a different physical principle, electrical impedance, but is grounded in measurable, validated science. That's where the real progress is happening.
Troy, a fascinating look at two very different industries being transformed by the same core trend. Let's bring it all together. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners this week?
First, on-site diagnostics are the new standard for safety and compliance. The lab is moving to the factory floor and the water treatment plant. Waiting days for results on pathogens like Salmonella or chemicals like PFAS is becoming competitively unacceptable. The action here is to launch pilot programs now to integrate these rapid, portable sensor technologies into your operations.
Second,
the future of health tech is a platform, not a product. Dexcom's acquisition of a coaching service proves that the value is in the continuous data, the AI-driven insights, and the personalized service, not just the sensor itself. Executives must ask if their business model is built around a one-time hardware sale or a recurring, data-driven relationship with the customer.
And the final takeaway this week?
Science must come before strategy.
Google's smart contact lens failure is a powerful reminder that in the physical world, you can't just code your way around fundamental biology or material science. When evaluating new ventures, partnerships, or technologies, your first and most critical due diligence must be on the scientific and engineering viability. A massive addressable market is worthless if the core technology is flawed.
Proactive diagnostics, platform-based business models, and a healthy respect for fundamental science. Excellent insights, Troy. Thank you. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. We hope you found it valuable as you navigate the week ahead.
My pleasure, Susie.
Join us again next week for another edition of Troy Technical Intelligence. To make sure you don't miss it, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, I'm Susie. Thanks for listening.